We've got a special treat, really special treat. Kathy and I met on July 3rd, 1981. And, you know, it didn't take long for us to figure out we were in love. Well, I was backslidden. And she was just a plain old heathen. Yeah, but a pretty one. Glory to God. And then in December of that year, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. I recommitted my life to the Lord. And we started attending a church called Christ Life Sanctuary. And that church was established by Pastor Fred Wilson and his wife Katrina. And it was during services at that church where Kathy was filled with the Holy Spirit and so was I. And together we attended these classes they had entitled BCT, Basic Christian Training. We went through those and we got established. I mean, it was good, solid teaching. And it really is at that church where I began to get focused, not just on my walk with God, but during that time, God was ministering to me and sowing into me and working in me to help me understand my calling. And it was years before I finally recognized it. But that church is the church that really, I guess you could say, got me going with the Lord. It was a good church. And I don't just say that, you know, because I can. It was a good, solid church. And we had some just incredible services. I saw things that I'd never seen before. I saw miracles. I saw healings. I saw the power of God move. I remember one service we were having a guest speaker in, and the power of God moved through that service. And I mean, people, it was almost like God took his hand and just went like this across the sanctuary, and people were falling down all over the place. Chairs were collapsing. I remember the pastor of that church. He was standing up on the platform, and the power of God hit him, and bam, he went down on his back right up there. I mean, it was just, there was so much of God that Kathy and I experienced. And I cannot say enough about Pastor Wilson and his wife, Katrina. You've heard me speak of them before here. And tonight, Pastor Wilson is here. Pastor Wilson, would you please come and just share from your heart for a moment? Praise God.
Did he say a moment? Lord, as long as I want. Oh, my. Well. Well, where else would you want to be on a Friday night? In the midst of prayer power. I tried to get here this morning, but I thought Patterson went all the way out. And I didn't know it turned, and then you'd have to get on. So, but I'm here. Thank you for those comments, Brother Jim, Kathy, you're special people. And Jim, he didn't tell you tonight, but he ended up being our accountant, right? And he was a good one. And he not only was able to do the books and the accounting, but he also listened to tapes. And he probably got fed more Word of Faith being the CPA than under our ministry. So we're delighted to be here tonight. Be instant in season and out of season. I didn't know I was going to, you know, be invited to speak as long as I want. And, you do have another speaker, right? You do. My short testimony, born in poverty, back in the country, in the farm, no electric, no plumbing. Our bath was a path, you understand that? You don't, do you? And got the work ethic on the farm. And I tell my story to my kids and my grandchildren now. And they say, "Pops, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger." As a teenager, I went into rebellion. Got into alcohol at 15. That was a 7-year journey. Rebellion, high school dropout, military. I was in military and a backslidden Pentecostal. I didn't know what he was, but we were sitting on a bar stool about ready to fall off, me this way and him that way. And he began to tell me, he said, "Fred, what you need is Jesus." I said, "Yeah, man, I want this Jesus." You know, I didn't know he's a backslidden Pentecostal. So we're in the Navy, and then we get out of the Navy. And this same guy, I'm a police officer in Dayton, Ohio, and he's a police officer in Middletown, Ohio. And he calls me and says, "Fred, I want you to go to church with me." And I said, "You know, I'm not into it. I'm trying to be an atheist." So we argued for a while, and then he said, "But you don't understand. They have the most beautiful girls." And all of a sudden, the anointing came upon me, and I wanted to go to the house of God. I did not know how to act. When I went into, they called it the vestibule, I didn't know what that was. And a man came up and hugged me, kissed me on the cheek. And I, you know, the Bible says, you know, there is a scripture on that. And I thought, "Woo, I don't know about this place." So anyway, went downstairs. They had a college career group. I was in my 20s then. And we sat on the back seat trying to be cool. And all of a sudden, I became a prophet before I got saved. And I said to Ken, I said, "Ken, that's her. I'm going to marry that girl." And so we just celebrated 58 years. So I kept going to church, you know, the girls kept going to church and so forth. And one Sunday morning, I got me a suit and a tie. And one Sunday morning, the pastor said, "It's time to receive the tithe." I thought he meant tie, necktie. And I said, "There is no way this man is getting my necktie." That's how dumb I was. But they helped me to soon learn about tithing. Now, when I got saved back in those days, they gave altar calls, not just lift your hand, but you had to go down and get on your knees. Right? Some of you remember that? And I didn't know how to pray. And somebody come by and said, "Hold on, son, hold on." And then somebody come by and said, "Turn loose and turn loose." And I didn't know how to hold on and turn loose. Then somebody come by and said, "Tell God all about your sins." I thought they meant what they said. So I said, "Lord," "When did I start?" "Oh, kindergarten." "Lord, forgive me for stealing that yellow pencil." And I just kept going on and up into my teen years. And finally I said, "God, if you'll have me, I want you." What a journey. What a journey. I told you a while ago I was raised in poverty. And when I go to mission fields, Katrina and I sat down the other day, Jim, and we took 40 mission trips plus 16 trips to Israel. And I'm saying that to say this. We've seen the poverty of the world. And I go tell them my story, and they feel sorry for me. So I'm praying, and finally, I just, "Lord, here I am." Okay, I get up from an altar, And I start back to my seat. I mean, people left and everything. I don't know how long I was down there. And this little lady, she's about 4 foot tall. She had an arm about 6 foot. And she pointed her finger in my face and she said, "Sonny, I understand you're a policeman." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You cannot be a Christian and be a policeman." That was my new convert class. And I really struggled over that. But one day I found in the Word. When I got saved, I got in the Word. I used to take my Bible to work, on, especially the night season when I wasn't in somebody's house or on a call, just wear the Bible out. And I found Romans, the 13th chapter, where the law enforcement guys are ministers of God, and it saved my life. I found that in the Word. Okay, let me just talk just about prayer. Didn't know how to pray. I learned to pray by going to prayer meeting. I learned to pray. The saints would get in the altar and they would pray out loud. Some of them real loud. And they would contort and they would pray and they would cry out to God and weep and cry over the lost. And all I did was just crawl up beside him and listen and learn how to pray. Now, when I talk about the good old days, this is the good old days. God is moving in this nation. This church is part of it. This prayer time is part of it. Don't underestimate what you're doing here. God's raising, if I know anything, God's raising up prayer warriors like I haven't seen in my journey across this nation. And so I learned to pray, and you know, pray. Katrina, now these were weird people. They were weird and wonderful. They were so weird, but there was the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And Katrina, I mean, she was in the church before I was, and she can tell you how it wasn't the preacher, but some of the laymen would come and pray for people, and they'd throw their crutches away, and, you know, cancers would drop off, and all that kind of stuff. That kind of impacts you. And Katrina had two aunts. She had two aunts. Her name was Olga and Alma. They were weird. They were into this all-night prayer stuff. You know, and I mean, they would start at sundown and be there with sun up. And they got into realms of prayer to where God would give them words of knowledge about a coming storm and would call it, and God would tell them the name of a storm that's coming to a certain nation, and they would intercede for God's grace over that country. Is that weird? It's weird. It really is weird. But it's wonderful. Everybody say wonderful.
Wonderful.
Praise God. They were into Elvis Presley. These Pentecostal holiness ladies loved Elvis Presley. Alma, one of them, collected all of his stuff all the way back almost before he started at her house when she went on to be with the Lord. Everybody argued to try to get it, the kids, because it was worth thousands and thousands of dollars. 3 days before Elvis died, Olga says, "Alma, God's laid on my heart, we got to pray for Elvis. Something's bad with Elvis." So they sought the Lord all night long. I don't know how long they prayed. They didn't know it, but in those 3 days, Elvis got a visit from a preacher and prayed with Elvis before he went out to be with the Lord. So prayer. Now, everybody has their theology, right? I'm not a gloom and doomer. I believe God is bringing revival to the church. And I believe there's an awakening in this land. I just read through the Old Testament again. My God, they went up to, they were God people one day and not God people the next day. Then here comes some prophet and here comes some man of God comes along and they get back into God. I don't believe God's through with this nation. God bless you. God bless you, Jim and Kathy. Thank God for you and what you're doing for the kingdom of God.
See, you don't know what I'm feeling right now. Man, this is just, I mean, the conference has been great, but I got to tell you, this is like it for me. Man, praise the Lord. See, everything that I do in ministry, everything I do, it can be traced back to that ministry. Everything I do. That, you know, so many of you come up and you say nice things about me. Oh, great sermon. Oh, we love you. And boy, that's just great. And all, you know what? I don't know how God passes out rewards in heaven, but I'm telling you what, you guys are heaping them up for Pastor Fred Wilson and his wife, Katrina. You absolutely are. Praise God. What a blessing. But what we want to do, to close out tonight, we've had various guest speakers. And I've asked each one of them to come up and briefly, the emphasis on briefly, just kind of give you a real brief summary, briefly. No, we don't want to quench the spirit, but we understand, okay? We're going to start with Elaine Legault. So,
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I will be brief. It was a great week. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. In all seriousness, I shared a little bit on Wednesday morning that the Lord's been doing a lot of work in me this particular year, starting back in the fall. And it's good stuff. It can be painful to go through things, but it's always worth it. You keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Even when it looks bleak and hopeless, He's that shining light in that darkness. You just say, okay, Lord Jesus, I know I've got you, so I'm making it through to the other side. Amen. One of the things that came about early on this year is I had shared with Pastor Jim that I know there's lots of speakers coming this year, and if it should happen that the Holy Spirit would want to minister through others and not through me, I won't be offended. Don't choose me, it's okay. Don't feel like you have to or anything. And he wouldn't anyways. But, you know, even if he wouldn't choose me out of obedience to the Holy Spirit, he loves me, he wouldn't want to hurt me. Amen? So I said, you know, if it should be that it's not me, that's fine. And part of that is, you know, he shared a message at some point, January, February, I can't remember. And in that message, he shared that, you know, hey, listen, you know, sometimes people get bent out of shape because they identify with what they do. And he gave the illustration of someone's job maybe is to stock the toilet paper in the bathroom stalls. And that person had come in one day, let's say, and this is, of course, a story. And they came into church to stock the toilet paper and saw that someone else had already done it. And so this person would go up to Pastor Jim and say, are you upset with me? Why did you get someone else to do this? I'm really upset. And really, in reality, the issue is really simply this. When someone goes into the stall, does their business, and they're done, they don't care who stocked the toilet paper. They're just happy it's there. And so he was sharing this about, you know, how people want to identify with what they do. But what I heard was it really doesn't matter who preaches the truth, who preaches the word, as long as the truth and the word comes forth. Amen? So I said, Lord, if it's not going to be me, hallelujah, I surrender that. I don't have to be one of the speakers. Yet I continued to pray for the conference, continued to press into the Lord. And what I preached on Wednesday, the Lord gave me back in February. And so I said, Lord, I'm ready. If you need me, if you want me, I'm there. But, amen. The basic gist, and I hope I got this across to you, is that as believers, as individual believers, you all have a personal responsibility for your own walk. You're not getting into heaven because Pastor Jim does. You don't get into heaven because your mother and father, you know, taught you the word or whatever. Your spouse isn't getting you there, and so on and so on and so on. We each have a personal responsibility. A scripture that is often quoted is 1 Corinthians 9:27, where Paul says, you know, I keep my body under, lest I myself be a castaway. The same word that is used in Romans 1:28, adikomos, which means to be a reprobate, to be rejected. And it doesn't matter who we are, we need to do our part. As an individual, I must walk with Jesus. I must make the effort to press into him every single day. And the context of Paul saying that, it's really powerful. I'll leave it with you to just meditate on 1 Corinthians 9, the whole thing. That's his conclusion. That's his final sentence on that thought, at least I think so. But it's really, it's not a standalone. Everything else leading up to it is really important. Amen? So, for us, we can look at some of our brothers and sisters and see where they're going. And based on, you know, the 1 John teachings we've been receiving, we can see and say, wait a minute, people who live like this are not of God. And so it's easy for us to point the finger at them, but it's important for us to recognize, how did they get there? Because I don't want to follow that path. I'm going to do what I must do to walk closely with my Lord and my Savior, because I don't want to be a castaway. Amen? Amen. Brother Nathan, you're up.
Well, somebody say glory. I'm trying to be the cool kid sitting in the back over there, you know. I'm going to give it some time, and I'm going to go in for the jugular here with LA, one of these services. You just give us some time, right? I've had a wonderful week. I don't know if everybody else has. I was blessed by the worship, by the word, all the different ministers that ministered. There was such a singular mind here. Everybody say singular.
Singular.
And it seemed like God is calling us. Everybody say us. That means me and you to lop off dead limbs. Because I know, listen, I know there's areas in my life that I need to, because listen, usually you've known they're there for a while when you've spent time with God. And they've been there, and you know, we always say, God, what's the next thing? I want to move forward with you. I want to go deeper. I want to know you more. But you usually already know that thing that you need to get rid of. Now, we're not just talking about sin, you know, because I don't believe the people in this room are doing the drinking and the smoking and the chewing and going with the girls that are doing. Remember, like Pastor Dave would say, the drinking, the smoking, and the chewing. But our identity can be wrapped so much in things of the world that those things become idols. And if you want the summary of 1 John, at the very end, he makes the statement and he says, little children, keep yourself from idols. So if you're going to remain in the love of God, to love God with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul, and then turn and love your brother and your neighbor as yourself, you can't do that if there's idolatry in your life. Because you wouldn't be able to love God with all your heart. You cannot turn and love your brother with all your heart. You following me? And idols are subtle things in our lives that our souls fall in love with, that we call good things. Everybody say good. Oh, recap, right? Let's. And we usually know what they are. You cannot spend time habitually with the Holy Spirit praying in tongues without knowing that next step. Well, I already know in my life, and listen, I'm eager. Everybody say eager. See, when we get these things that God shows us, it's a wonderful thing, because whom the Father loves, he's going to chasten. And the proof of God's love working in your life is he's going to correct you, he's going to tutor you, he's going to chasten you, and he's doing it through the born-again spirit. And so he chastens us through conviction. So when you start to feel uneasy about the good things in your life that you've allowed that have become idols through the illumination of the Holy Spirit, that's the time to get rid of them. and lop those dead limbs off. And every single time I have gone there in my life and been obedient to this, because this process does not end with the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. It's grievous. Everybody say grievous. See, grievous means it hurts. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. But listen, afterwards, everybody say after. It's going to produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives if we are trained by it. And that word trained, to be exercised by, that means to really obey whatever God's working in you through the chastening. And so when you obey, because obedience is the only way to move forward into that next place with God for us individually. And when we say yes and obey, that chastening is complete. It works the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And all of a sudden, there's a depth that's added between you and Him that was not there before. Because your soul is now satisfied by intimacy with Him. And you're starting to draw from a well. Listen, this is the well of life that's going to satisfy us at all times. About 6 months ago, and I was spending a lot of time with God, because there's a mirror that you could look into at any moment in your life that's the perfect law of liberty. The beholding, as in a glass, you look into Jesus, He shows you you, and that's intimacy with God. As you spend time with Him, you behold who you've become, and you see it. And about 6 months ago, you know, everybody know the Netflix devil? Everybody say Netflix. It's that little red demon, you know, and it's got the little big play button, and then we all like to binge watch stuff, you know. Oh, we got to just click that, you know. And I had given seasons, long seasons of my life where I was habitually praying, staying faithful with God and my time with Him. But I had extra time that I was just letting my mind be filled with things that were of the world. But as I got more intimate with God, and listen, I'm all about intimacy, because the more you fall in love with Him, the more you're going to love what He tells you to do. And the more you love what He tells you to do, the more you're going to do it no matter how much it hurts. About 6 months ago, the Holy Spirit, He said, you know, you've known for about 10 years now. Everybody say 10 years. But I've been working in you to pull away from media. Because there's so much filth that we allow into our lives. Listen, it's justified. The world, man, Bronk preached a message not too long ago, and the world is not asking for permission anymore. It's encroaching on you. If you allow certain things into your life, you say, well, it's okay, I can handle it. No, you probably can't handle it. If it's promoting lasciviousness and no restraint and sexuality and immorality, you cannot allow those things in your life. What you sow in your brain is what you're going to think about. And the Holy Spirit, you know, he started telling me, you've been allowing these things, and they were good. The things that we call in the church world good, and, you know, because we don't want to look religious. So we all say, well, I don't want to get religious, so we can all watch this, you know, because we don't want to paint this religious picture and get people to be afraid, you know? Oh, I know I'm preaching good. And so in the name of religion, we allow all these things into our lives that are complete immorality that we entertain ourselves with. Amen. And listen, the heart of that is friendship with the world. It's a piece of it. It's a little piece where we're still friends with the world. And listen, if there's friendship with the world in your life, there's a part of you that's still wanting to side with being the enemy of God because your flesh is being fed. I didn't mean to take this so heavy. And the Holy Spirit said, it's time that you need to obey me. And you've known for a long time now that you were supposed to back away from these things. So about 6 months ago, I made a commitment. I said, I ain't doing none of it. I backed off from all Netflix, all live streaming. I quit watching movies. I have to watch Endgame. But listen, when I made the decision to do it, it felt like my soul, it was like, oh, a part of me was dying because I had let myself be fed with this for so long. But as I detached from it, and my soul started to plug into Him, I didn't want it anymore. It hurt at first, but I obeyed, and afterward, It worked the peaceable fruit in righteousness to where now I'm not mindlessly wasting hours letting my mind be filled with things that I shouldn't. And I'm not talking about the things that we all know we shouldn't watch. It's the things we know we shouldn't watch that we still say are okay to watch. Somebody say glory. But listen, when I obeyed, my relationship with God went to a whole nother level. Because obedience was working the peaceable fruit of righteousness through the chastening of that relational side from me and him. And listen, I don't want to go back. I don't want to waste my time filling my mind. And you say that's religion. No, listen to what I'm saying. This came from my intimacy with God as I was spending time with him. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what he told me to do. But there are things that I know that all of us watch that we shouldn't do. Let's lop off the dead limbs, amen? He's in our corner. Oh, stay in intimacy, stay in prayer, stay in fellowship, stay in worship, stay in the word, but you got to obey him. If he leads you to it, and see, it was 10 years he was leading me into this, and I hadn't fallen out of prayer. I hadn't fallen out of fasting. Hadn't fallen out of the word or worship, but it took me 10 years in a state of justifying what I knew I wasn't supposed to do. I kept on just saying, me and God were good, and he was always just, you never know what's going on in someone's heart. That conscience, it don't lie. It's a sure guide, and you know it when it's flagging you. But I'm so thankful that I was obedient because I felt the effect not only in my own personal life and my mind and my family and my ministry. When I stand up to preach, listen, when a preacher stands up to preach and there's no hypocrisy, God's able to do 10 times more than he was ever able to. I'm not trying to make the preachers feel uncomfortable, but if I stand up and say I'm free from sin, it could be a frail word if I'm not really walking it. But if I'm walking it, you could feel it when it drops in the room because the Holy Spirit's bearing witness with my life as a living witness of him. And then conviction starts to work, and it's a wonderful thing. Everybody say glory. Oh, Bronk, you're up next. Obey God, amen?
Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to be short because I'm going to introduce a young, handsome gentleman by the name of Gary Carpenter in just a moment. I'm going to give him plenty of time. I said a lot this morning, and you still love me, so that's amazing. Praise the Lord. In the morning, Candy and I will get up early and drive down to Cincinnati and catch a flight back home to Florida. And we'll be greeted by our grandkids and do the things that we love the most, being with our kids and grandkids, and Papa will be Papa. And Nana will be Nana. But we appreciate and we take back with us in our hearts all of you. But what we take back is the same thing that we have taken back 20 plus years in this conference. I know you haven't been going 20 plus years, but 20 plus years that many of us have been together, Pastor Jim and I, from 1997, starting in the Tulsa conferences to this present time. And we take back with us a message inside of our hearts, and we know this, and I know this, and something that I'll reiterate just to you because you know it as well, is that you don't remember every single message unless you've got some incredible photographic mind that just can retain everything. You won't remember every exhortation. But what you will carry in your spirit is the heart and soul of the message that we have been ministering by the grace of God this week, and that is a singularity of thought to prepare our hearts for these last days. Amen. Not that we're in an elitist group, but we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that God can exalt us to be those in these last days that help, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, that we with meekness instruct those who are opposing themselves. So when you go back home or you stay here and home is here and whatever you're doing, next week is going to hit you fast, just like it does all of us. But the one thing that separates those that are not only, that are successful. Successful not as in man's success, but as in a growing prosperity in Christ, is that Jesus said, if you will hear my words and if you will do my words, I will liken you to a man that built his house upon the rock. It is far more than just hearing and appreciating knowledge. We've had a lot of knowledge. But after you go back or wherever you start at next week, even with not able at times to remember or assimilate all the knowledge that you have been given, you do know this, that the things that have brought us to this place is a consistency of walking in Christ and doing the things that cause spiritual growth, which is prayer, staying in the prayer closet, doing those things that take us to the next level. Paul said, let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There's a lot of name droppers in the body of Christ today, and I'm not trying to condemn anyone, but Jesus Christ is hashtagged as, he's my friend, he's my Lord, but we don't see the fruit. And if there's anything that, among many other things that we have heard in this conference, is that Christ is calling us to a higher standard than we've ever known before. If John 15, if we are purged, he will come along and purge us again. And we can no longer hardly enjoy that one purging that he comes right behind if we're going into him and he purges us again and purges us again and purges us again. Not so that we can become some legalistic group, but so that we can become so enthralled by everything that he is that when the world looks at us, they see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Candy and I love you so much. And we can't wait to be with you again. So with no further ado, I'm going to pass this handheld mic to this man. And if this starts popping, it is a telltale sign that he has an anointing that all the rest of us do not have. And Satan has given him, like Paul, a thorn in the flesh. And he is worthy to be stopped. So, Brother Gary Carpenter, hallelujah. Give him a great big hand.
Now, wait a minute. There was another speaker. I don't see Richard Edgar's name on here. I get his time and my time. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see now. For mercy's sake. Okay. How many have received a lot this week? Was it good to come?
Amen.
Are you going home with more than what you arrived here with?
Amen.
So we would all be in agreement, we have received much.
Yes.
You can look it up later in Luke chapter 12. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. Take seriously what the Lord has imparted. I intend to do it myself. I'm looking for dead limbs. And another thing that was said, I think it was L.A. and his message. There may not be, maybe it was somebody else. But it says, don't backslide. There's not time for backsliding. Where we're going and the revival that's going to break out, you don't want to be in a backslidden condition. You might not make it back. Amen? When the power falls, it cuts both ways. Now, I do need you to get your Bibles out. Because actually this morning, the Lord woke me up with my summary. And I'd like you to put a big pinch between Deuteronomy chapter 30, you thought I was going to say Genesis 1, and Galatians chapter 3. When I woke up this morning, I kept hearing this little short phrase that I knew was in from Deuteronomy. See, the book of Deuteronomy is really Moses kind of giving his last letter, his last words to Israel right before he went, right before he left the planet. So it's a summary of much that has happened and a sort of a recap of the law. And you take seriously the last words of anybody, especially someone of the stature of Moses. But coming here to Deuteronomy 30, the words that I kept hearing when I woke, just when I woke up, like the Holy Spirit was just waiting for me to open my eyes, and I kept hearing, choose life. Choose life. And I knew that was from Deuteronomy, and I found it, thank God for our Bible apps where you can search. But open up to Deuteronomy 30, let's look at verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. Now this next phrase, if you please, underline, mark it, put eyeballs, draw little eyeballs in the margin, write look, for he is thy life. Let me say it again, for he is thy life.
Yes, glory God.
Say it out loud, he is my life.
He is my life.
Now you don't realize it yet, and I don't fully realize it yet, but this is Nathan's message that he delivered this week, where he was trying to let us understand. And actually, Richard Edgar's also, where he did that visual demonstration of the continuous flow all the way from the Father through the Son by the Spirit into us. We're not really divided. We are one with him. And that was his prayer in John chapter 17, that we'd all be one. And he wasn't talking a horizontal oneness. He was talking a vertical oneness, us with God. But now, see, in Deuteronomy, and really all of the Old Testament, it's the shadow. We're told that those things, they're good for us to study, good for us to learn. We can learn from each and every one of them, but they are the shadow of good things to come. I like how Pastor Dave would always say, you know, if there is a shadow, then there's something real making that shadow. Now see, what we're looking at here, God was giving Israel the law, which was the best he could do with unregenerate people, to guide them, to lead them. So when he says he is thy life and the length of thy days, he does not mean they were born again. But the best he could do for them was give them his law. And the best they could do would be try to keep it. With that thinking there, go over to Galatians 3. We just saw the giving of the law, the summary of it in Deuteronomy. And under the shadow, this is the best God could do. And even there he said, I am, let me say it exactly, for he is thy life. But it was a shadow. They didn't really become born again. But it was the best God had under those circumstances. But now watch this, Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Now notice, for if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now over there he says, I am, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. That was the shadow. The law could not really give them life. But Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, for he shall have, not the shadow, he shall have the light of life. You don't have the shadow. You have Christ who cast the shadow. You have this life that they could not have. He is your life. One last place. You're close. Go to Colossians. Now I'm in Richard's time. I want to go just a little bit further. You know, Jim used this passage out of Colossians 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Did I say Colossians 3? Okay. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now there's that unity again. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Now notice, when Christ, who is your life, and actually, if you'll notice, who is in italics. It's okay. It doesn't change the meaning, but I like it better when I read it this way. When Christ, our life, shall appear. He has appeared in my heart. He has appeared in your heart. We're not living in the shadow. We are living in Christ who cast the shadow. And truly, He is your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That life will chop off every limb. Every dead limb. One last thing. This is Edgar's time. Angie has a friend who's in gardening and horticulture. She just went through a class and learned in the natural, the spiritual principle that was brought forward about dead limbs. And they were saying the same thing, even in the natural, you must prune the dead limbs off the trees, because the dead limbs is where the insects and where disease gain access to a healthy tree. And if those dead limbs aren't lopped off, you just exist with them, those will be the very things that eventually allows the enemy to burrow inside. And that living tree can become twice dead. Cut off the limbs. Cut off the limbs. Say it with me. To whom much has been given, and much is required. I have been given much. Jesus, I take it seriously. I'm lopping off some limbs. Hallelujah. Pastor Jim.
Each person that's been up here has shared more in their few minutes than some people have gotten in some churches their whole lives. One thing I forgot to mention is that Pastor Wilson performed Kathy's and my wedding. Yeah, yeah, praise God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It stuck, hallelujah. One of my heroes in Scripture is the Apostle Paul. You know, I take a look at his life and I see who he was before he was born again, and I see who he was after he was born again. What's interesting is that before he was born again, he served God as much as he knew. And he persecuted Christians and had them beaten and imprisoned and executed. But after he got born again, later on he was writing and he said, you know, I am not guilty of any man's blood. And when you read that, you think about, well, who he was before Jesus. He's not making reference to the old man. He's making reference to the new man. He did not allow his past to be the anchor to his future. He understood the completeness of God's forgiveness in his life. And because of that, he was able to go forward with God to become someone that God could use so incredibly, he ended up authoring more of the New Testament, more books, than any other writer. Paul saw his identity in Christ, not in who he had been. and not in who he was as a human in this life. He even said, for to me to live is Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, in this body, on this planet, I live by the faith of the Son of God, because he's the one who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that's the vision we have to capture for ourselves. Because the truth is, well, we know that no more scripture is going to be written. We understand that. But as far as a ministry perspective is concerned, you don't know, but what God is looking at you as being, let's say it this way, the next Apostle Paul. You understand the imagery? But see, God can't use us like that until we make that decision that we're going to follow him and sell out to him. Selling out is relative to each person and God's will for that person's life. Everything that Paul did, it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, for me, if I'm not going to look unto Jesus as the author and finisher of my faith, well, then the next person I would want to look to is the Apostle Paul. That's for me, for everything that he's done. But listen to this in Philippians chapter 3. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Well, what's he talking about? Well, briefly, to have reached the pinnacle of everything that you can become in Christ. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you think, well, if anybody has made it, it's the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, it's like he's saying, don't look to me as somebody who has made it to the pinnacle to where there's no more to go. He's saying, even I am continuing to press deeper into Jesus Christ. And then he continues and he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, or in other words, as many who want to be like Jesus, be thus minded. In other words, you forget those things which are behind. You forget the things of your past, your accomplishments. Let me think of, say it like this. You forget about all the prayer time you spent last week as though that's the end of it. And you realize you need prayer time this week. You need fellowship time next week. He said, let us therefore as many as be perfect, as want to be like Christ, be thus minded, have this mindset, this unshakable way of thinking. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So as we make this decision, this is what I want to be. Jesus, I want to be like you. This is my mindset. And God says, okay. If that is your mindset, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reveal to you the things that are interfering with this progress. Things that aren't sin, but they're hindering your progress. And I've shared before things in my own life that it wasn't sin, but God was saying, you know, you need to stop doing this. It's stealing your time. And he says, you know, God will reveal unto you these things. And in verse 16, he says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, everything that you've done, all the prayer, all the fasting, the worship, the meditation in the word, all of these things that you've done to get to where you are in Christ, these are the things you need to continue to do to go further into Christ. You can't let these things slip. And he says, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. Because you see, God is going to reveal to you, If you have this mindset, God is going to reveal to you the kind of people you need in your life who have already gone before you. The people who are setting the example. That's why the Apostle Paul said, you know, follow me as I'm following Christ, because I'm at this level, but I don't want you to think that I've stopped. I'm continuing to press in. So you follow me because we're going to press in together. That's us. That's what we've had this week. That's what we've had in this conference. We have been exposed to ministers who are pressing toward that mark. And if we will continue to look unto those who have gone before us, who are selling out to Jesus Christ, and continue to apply these things that God has revealed unto us in His Word that we need to do to continue this growth, guys, we're going to see this revival. We're going to see a breakthrough. We're going to see a move of God. It is inevitable. It's going to happen. And we cannot become weary in well-doing. Because if we continue, we will see the move of God. And I give Him the glory for this. I praise God for what He's done in my life. I praise God for all the people like Pastor Wilson who have gone before me and set the example and lived Christ in front of me that I could say, this walk is real. This walk is genuine because I see it lived out before my eyes. It's not religion, it's relationship. And if they can do it, then bless God, so can I. Would you all please stand? You know, we've had this whole week of preaching and teaching. And quite frankly, these kind of conferences, they're geared more to the edification of the believer. They're not what you would call evangelistic conferences. There's a time for such conferences. There's a time for such outreach. But then there's also a time for discipleship. And really, that's what this week has been. But you know, as I look out among the folks that are here tonight, those of you who are watching this, I can't see your heart, but God does. And you've heard all this teaching this week, teaching that included the fact you just can't live any way you want to. And that God has made a way for you to have a whole new future, a whole new way of living, and all the junk in your life, the sin, the things that God in His Word defines as sin, He's made a way for all of that to be purged from your life. Because when it comes to the life of an individual, of a human, the first purging that takes place is that old lost sin nature on the inside. And through the blood of Jesus, that is purged out, and the power of God delivers on the inside of you a new man, a born-again spirit that enables you to live exactly the way that God wants you to. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you realize He is your only hope, He is the only way for you to have salvation and to make it to heaven for all eternity. If you want this change that He's offering to you, I'm inviting you, please, just to come up here and I personally will pray with you. Is there anyone at all? And I realize everybody in this room may be born again. I understand that. But for those of you watching, this is just as true. The presence and the power of God is there with you now. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, listen, you heard Pastor Wilson talk about how his life was before Jesus and how much God moved in his life to change his life. The same thing for me. What He's done for me, He's going to do it for you too. And I'm telling you, the difference that God makes in a person's life, you can't describe it in words. It is an experience in the heart. So right where you are, wherever you are watching this, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, tonight is your night. Praise the Lord. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead in a prayer to accept Jesus. And you just repeat this prayer after me. And as a sign of support for you, the folks who are here, they're going to pray along with you. So you can just go ahead and bow your head and just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I have sin in my life. I am a sinner, but I can't change myself. I need you, Jesus. So I invite you into my life. Wash away my sin with your precious blood. Purge me of that old lost sin nature. And give to me that born again life you've promised. I receive it from you now, Jesus. And I also ask you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I receive you into my life. And I ask you to give unto me every one of your gifts you know I need. I receive them from you, Holy Spirit. And I ask you to work with me from this day forward and help me to live for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Now, if you prayed that prayer, please use the contact us form there at the website. Just send me an email because I do want to pray for you and just encourage you in the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Did you know that by Jesus' stripes you were healed? One of the things that I learned a long time ago is that it is so wonderful to be in a prayer line, have somebody lay hands on me and pray for me. But over the years, I also learned I can receive healing for myself even if nobody prays for me. It's nice to have hands laid on you, but yet you can receive your healing wherever you are, at any time. And right now, if you're in this room and you're believing God for healing to manifest in your body, I want you to know what we sang earlier is true. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all, including the price for your healing. Because you see, the Bible says that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. The Bible says that Jesus took our infirmities, He bore our sicknesses to fulfill a prophecy that God gave to humanity. The Bible tells us how that God sent His Word, and His Word had that healing power, and His Word healed and delivered from all sickness and affliction and disease. And His Word is still alive today. And right now, where you are, I want you to know that God will heal your body, that healing will manifest in your body tonight. I know it will. It's happened to other people in this church. It's happened to me. It will happen for you. This is the God we serve. So right now, if you're here and you're believing for a healing to manifest in your body, no matter what it is, I just want you to close your eyes and just lift your hands to the Lord. And just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that by your stripes I was healed. I thank you, Father, for sending your word and healing me and delivering me from all affliction. I thank you, Jesus, for taking my sickness, taking my infirmities, and fulfilling the word of God for my healing. Body, in the name of Jesus, you are a vessel of honor unto the Lord. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are my vessel that I use to serve God. So therefore, in the name of Jesus, every sickness, every affliction, every infirmity, I command you to leave my body. Leave my body now. Healing manifest. And I thank you, Jesus, for my manifested healing. I call it a reality in my body. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now listen, from this night forward, if you have a physical experience and your mind says, oops, there it is again. You ever heard the term counterpunch? In boxing, they tell you, you know, if your opponent's coming at you, punching you, you counterpunch. Well, if your body says, hey, here's some more pain, you counterpunch it with the Word of God. Don't take it. Fight back. Like the word I shared with you, the Holy Spirit gave me earlier. What do you want to be the manifested reality in your life? Declare that healing over your body. Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. Well, guys, listen, I want to thank you so much for being here this week. You have blessed me. You've blessed each other. And we have been blessed by the Lord. Praise God. And I just, once again, Pastor Wilson, thank you so much for coming tonight. Would you pray a dismissal prayer or anything else you want to share?
I want to encourage all of you that have loved ones that are not yet saved. Let me see your hands. Anybody? Whole house. Katrina and I, Pastor Katrina and I, this week, a few days ago, had an experience where a man that's been in our church probably was there before you guys. And he's now 93. He's been an atheist all of these years, hard as nails. He's heard more gospel and has more gospel in his mind than most Christians. And this week, we led him to the Lord, 93 years old. 93 years old. Now, he was in the hospital, but it was not a deathbed experience. We visit him today, and now I'm trying to decide how to baptize him, 93, whether his bathtub or sprinkle or what, I don't know. But anyway, this morning, he's out of the hospital. He's on his way out. So, 93. Lift your hands again, please. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, salvation is a household experience. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for every hand that is raised, and for everyone that represents right now, right this very second, we believe in you, Father God, to go to them. Lord, even visit them in the night season. Lord, where they can't argue with you. Visit them in their dreams, oh God. Reveal yourself. Lord, if you can reveal yourself, Jesus, to Muslims around the world, you can reveal yourself to our people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just give the Lord a great hand. Amen.
Praise God. Man, that's encouraging. Praise the Lord. All right, listen, you guys have a safe journey home.